Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial start of recreational boating season. And here in Savannah, 2022 got off to a horrific beginning. Two boats collided in the Wilmington River on Saturday morning, killing five of the nine people on board the two vessels. The incident has spurred much discussion about boating safety and boating education. And joining the commute today to speak on those topics is the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Mark McKinnon. SavannahNow.com. This is the Commute Podcast presented by National Office Systems. I'm Adam Van Bremmer, opinion columnist and a deputy editor at the Savannah Morning News and the host of this twice weekly podcast focused on news and happenings in and around Savannah. Today is Tuesday, May the 31st. The Memorial Day holiday weekend was marred by tragedy here in Savannah, with five recreational boaters killed in a collision involving two power boats in the Wilmington River. While we mourn those lost, we also have a renewed focus on boating safety. An expert in that field, Georgia DNR's Mark McKinnon, talks through all that on today's episode. That's coming up right after this ad for the podcast presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Here at the Savannah Morning News, we are in the midst of planning some changes to our offices. Yes, we're still planning. No matter which way we decide to go, I feel like we're going to turn out just fine. Why? Because we are clients of Savannah's premier office designer and outfitter, National Office Systems. National Office Systems works with Savannah's own Dirt Modular Interiors on layouts and partners with two of the most iconic brands in office furniture, Herman Miller and now Knoll, whose products just recently became available. Learn more about National Office Systems and what they do by visiting www.natoffsys.com. One more time, www.natoffsys.com. Now, here's my discussion with DNR's Mark McKinnon. Pleased to be joined by the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Mark McKinnon. And of course, I wish that the circumstances weren't such that Mark was joining me today because of what happened over the weekend. And we were just talking just in general about boater safety as a recreational boating season really gears up. But of course, when something happens on the waterways, there's a lot of talk about boater safety, boater training, and really gets people's attention. And I know, Mark, this is a point of emphasis for you at this time of year, every year, regardless of what's going on. I know that we weren't the only ones in the state that had some issues on the water over the holiday weekend. As you look at the holiday weekend and going through the summer, what are some of the boater safety things that need to be top of mind for anybody that's out there on a boat?
Well, you know, we always say that, you know, common courtesy is the first thing to consider. You know, when you're out there in your boat, it's just important that you pay attention. We talk about distracted drivers on the roadways. Well, you know, distracted boaters is a problem too. And often, you know, you're in a lot more open space when you're in a boat, so you feel more comfortable not paying as much attention. But that cannot be a good thing for sure. So, you know, that's an important one. Taking care of those children. You know, I always like to mention that real close to the front end of a conversation that I have, because we have a real problem certain times of the year where supervision would have prevented a drowning somewhere. And you know, you can't take your eyes off those little ones for a second, you know. And I mean, if anybody who's had children know, they can get away really quick.
Real fast.
And without you even knowing where they are. And so don't assume that somebody else on the beach or in the pool area or wherever you are, don't assume somebody else is watching your children. You need to keep your eyes on them. Don't be buried up in your iPad or your phone or whatever. Keep your eyes on those kids. Also, put those life jackets on the kids. Right. I mean, gosh, come on. They need that flotation, and because even if they can swim at a young age, they are likely to get tired very quickly, and it doesn't take very deep water for it to be over their heads. So, just, you know, take care of those kids, and you know, be sure on your boat you have the proper safety equipment. You know, it's required by law that you have a properly fitting U.S. Coast Guard approved life jacket for each person on that boat. It must have that life jacket. You must have a fire extinguisher that is serviceable and charged properly. And you must have a throwable device, something that you could throw to someone in the water if they needed help. Those are the minimum requirements there. Be sure that life jacket for especially, you know, for adults is in a location where you can get to it. I mean, we recommend you wear it. And there are some life jackets out, you know, used to be life jackets were so big and bulky and uncomfortable and hot. And now they make life jackets that are much more comfortable, much smaller, and will certainly do the job. We just recommend you wear it. Every one of our game wardens does not leave the dock without their life jacket on, and they keep them on continuously. So that's something I recommend. Now, also keep in mind, children under 13 must be wearing that life jacket if that boat is in motion. If that boat is moving in any way, and I'm not just talking about under power, if it's drifting, if it's under sail, if it's not anchored or tied to something, that they have to have that life jacket on. And it is so important that you do, again, take care of those children.
Yes, absolutely. I've been stopped by Marine Patrol before, and Coast Guard, and I remember specifically one time the Coast Guard gave T-shirts to everybody because the kids had on the life jackets.
So yeah, we've done that in the past too, where we've said we actually had a shirt that said "I got caught wearing my life jacket," right, by DNR law enforcement, you know, and the right, kids love that, and we do that as an incentive to keep them in those life jackets because. You know, I've been with DNR law enforcement since 2014, mm-hmm, and I can tell you that I only recall one instance since I've been here where someone drowned who had a life jacket on, mm-hmm, and that was a very unusual circumstance in a river that was over flood stage and that sort of thing. So if you wear your life jacket, it is almost a guarantee that you will not drown. It's just a fact.
Yeah, and you'd much rather get a T-shirt than a citation. Trust me.
Absolutely,
on that one.
Absolutely.
So, Mark, as I've kind of alluded to, I'm a regular boater myself. Relatively new. Been at it 4 or 5 years now, and I remember.
I'll be sure our guys keep an eye out there for you.
Don't tell them too much. But one of the first lessons I got in boating was there's really only one rule of boating, and that's to avoid collision. When you're out there boating and you're going a lot of different directions, and if you're out there and you see boats crowding up on each other, regardless of how fast they're going or how slow they're going, is that really the most dangerous time? Is when boats are in close proximity to each other and in motion?
Well, it certainly can be, you know, and the law clearly states that the operator is to be in control of their vessel at all times, mm-hmm, and so. If you are driving recklessly too close to other boats, you're asking for trouble. And I'm just not talking about a ticket. I'm talking about a tragic event.
Right.
And those are the things that we want to avoid. There is a law that we are really going to be focusing on more this summer because we've seen an uptick in the number of accidents caused by it, by people not following it. And it's called the 100-foot law. Mm-hmm. And what it states is that if you are within 100 feet of pretty much anything, you better be at idle speed. If yeah. you're 100 feet of a person in the water, a dock, a shoreline, a swimming area, another boat, unless you're legally passing them, mm-hmm, all of those things, if you're within 100 feet of them, you got to be at idle speed. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we have a problem with a lot of the jet skiers wanting to jump right. the wakes of boats.
Right.
That would be violating the 100-foot law. And so we are going to be really looking for that. And boating under the influence. Well, those two things will be our real focus this year, just trying to get some of these accident rates down. But those two seem to be causing more than any of the others.
You mentioned passing and overtaking, and for folks that aren't really familiar with being out on the water, it operates a lot like the road, right? Is you stay to the right if you're getting ready to pass somebody the other way. There is a pecking order on who has right of way over what, depending on whether you're under sail or motor or big freighter. We don't need to get into the details of that. But when you talk about passing, what are some of the things that you would want people to know that they should do or maybe they shouldn't do when it comes to passing or overtaking another boat?
Well, you know, when you're passing, and there are a lot of individual little rules that, you know, you could get in the weeds on. Mm-hmm. The easy thing to remember is drive it sort of like your car. If you are passing head on, you know, you stay to the right, let the other boat stay to the right as well. Mm-hmm. And but the main thing is just give and take. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody's going to know the rules, and they may not follow the rules even if you do. So just, you know, if you're cautious enough and you give and take, as you pass, you know, and recognize and make sure the other boater knows where you are and where mm-hmm. you're coming, you know, it's not going to be a real problem. I mean, we're not, if you pass on the wrong side of someone, if you're overtaking them, you know, our game wardens are not likely to go pull you over for that. It's not really a violation. It's just, you know, there's a best way to do it and sure. not a best way to do it. But we, you know, just the main thing is if you're alert and you make sure that other boater knows where you are, you can overtake them in a safe manner and, you know, give them as much space as you possibly can.
Pardon me for breaking into this discussion here, but I need to say a word about the upcoming Coastal Empire High School Sports Awards. As June starts, this annual gala creeps closer. Presented by the Georgia Ports and sponsored by Chatham Orthopedic Associates, the award show returns to an in-person format this year after 2 years of virtual shows. The Best of Preps is scheduled for 7:30 p.m. on Monday, June the 10th at the Johnny Mercer Theater. Atlanta Braves great Andrew Jones will be the keynote speaker. You can come help us celebrate our local student athletes by purchasing tickets at sportsawards.usatoday.com/coastalempire. One more time, that's sportsawards.usatoday.com/coastalempire. If you don't want to try to remember that whole URL, go to savannahnow.com, click on the sports page. Sports page comes up, you'll see a link where you can go ahead and click and buy some tickets. And with that, now back to the interview with Georgia DNR's Mark McKinnon. You mentioned jet skis earlier, and of course, PWCs are very popular down in this area on our rivers and out into the sounds. What do people need to know in terms of etiquette, whether it's a jet ski or even kayaks and stand-up paddle boards? What are some of the things you stress for people who are either operating those kind of vessels or people operating a normal powerboat?
Well, you know, they first keep in mind, if you're on a kayak or an SUP or you're a you know, on a jet ski, you're not likely the largest vessel out there. So even if you're doing all the right things, you've got to be incredibly alert as to where other vessels are. I know I'm a kayaker. And so I know that, you know, if I get out into a big channel somewhere and some huge boat goes by, I better be careful or it's going to flip me over. Right. You know, and so and there are certain places I'm not going to go because it's just too dangerous with boat traffic that I'm going to get run over. And that's an important thing to remember for those who are operating those smaller vessels. Jet skis, you know, it's so easy to want to just fly around everywhere and have fun on them. But, I mean, there are things in the water. There's all sorts of hazards that are out there. You know, people think about drowning and they say, well, you know, people drown in pools and in the lake, so what's really the difference? Well, or the lake or whatever, there are so many other hazards in a natural body of water that you don't have in a pool. You can, most of the time, I hope you can see the bottom of the pool. You know, that's fine. You know, the bottom, you know what's there, you know where the drain is, you know all those things in a pool. You may not be able to see 6 inches below the surface of the water, and there could be a giant log or tree or stump right there, and you're on that jet ski flying around. So, you know, those are things that I think some of the smaller vessels, you know, sometimes don't pay attention to. Most of your larger vessels, they know if I get in too shallow water, I'm going to have a trouble here. Right. But the main thing is for those to watch out for those larger vessels. And for the larger vessels, like I said earlier, be alert. You've got to stay alert and you've got to look for those smaller vessels. I liken it to motorcycles on the roadway. You know, if you're in a car or a big truck, and it's hard, sometimes hard to see a motorcycle, but you've got to look extra hard and make sure you can see those smaller vehicles or vessels when you're out on the water. So it's all a matter of not being distracted, staying alert, and not being impaired. And, you know, that's what's going to get you a safe day on the water and be able to come back another day for more fun.
Yeah, of course, around here, the water is very brackish. You can't see 2 inches.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm with you on that completely. Let's talk a little bit about boater education. And of course, there's no Georgia law that says you have to have a boating license the way you do a driver's license. And I'm asked all the time about, well, what kind of training did you get? And I did get a little bit of training. And they're all, you know, I'll tell them what I got. And they're like, well, that's not very much. And I'll be like, yeah, but at the same time, if you see a boat in your neighbor's yard and you go buy that boat, you can take it to the boat ramp, put it in the water and go. There's no law that says you shouldn't. So what do people need to know if they're interested in voting or if they're new to voting about what kind of voter education they should pursue?
Well, actually, there is a law in Georgia now. Mm-hmm. Beginning in 2013, a law was passed that requires anyone who was born on or after January 1st, 1998,
okay,
to have mandatory voter education that is approved by the Georgia DNR. And you can go to our website and see some of the places that you can find that mandatory education. Okay. But it is required, and since it is a date set in time, as time goes by, sooner or later, everybody's going to have to have it. So we are at that point. It's not per se a license, mm-hmm, like you would have for driving a car, but it is a voter education requirement. And we're already writing some citations where some young people are out driving boats who should have had education and they haven't had it yet. So it's very important. It gives all the basics that people need to know to operate. And so we lobbied for that law really hard and got it passed in 2013. And I think it's going to really make a difference, especially as time goes by and more people are required to have it. Right. So we're excited about that. And we just hope that people will follow that law and get that education before they get out on the waterway.
Is there data in yet on have you seen any kind of trends in terms of younger people who are voting, that it's safer now than it was, or is it too early to really get that data together?
You know, I'm not sure that I've actually seen any data on it. I'm sure there's some out there somewhere. Coast Guard keeps track of a lot of things, a lot of data, and they may have some things on how well voter education works in general. But I haven't seen specific data for Georgia, but on the other hand, I really haven't searched for it.
Right, right. If somebody is new to voting and they're older than this, so they're not required to go through this mandatory training. I went through America's Voting Course with U.S. Power Squadron. I know there's a lot of you can go ahead and contract with a captain to take you out and show you the ropes on the water. What were some of the things that you would recommend to people in terms of trying to get comfortable on the boat?
Oh, I think everybody should take voter education. I'm exempt from it myself, but I took it anyway, mm-hmm, because it's just a good, even if you've been on the water all your life, it's a good refresher. There's some things that you've probably forgotten about maybe I should do that, you know, or I forgot that's how that works or whatever. It's good just to get a refresher and get it back in your mind, put safety more toward the top. You may have shuffled it down the list a little bit over the years, mm-hmm, get it back toward the top of your mind. And that way, when you're out there operating and you've got your kids and grandkids or whoever out there, you've got safety first, and that's going to keep them and you safe, as well as other boaters out there on the water.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad that we could talk about this. I'm sad that it's not under different circumstances, but I certainly appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully people are going to hear this and reflect back on what happened over the weekend, and it might motivate them to go ahead and take those steps and get that extra education. But thanks so much for taking the time to join me.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to be here. Anytime I have the opportunity to talk about safety, I try to take it, you know, and because that's what we're all about. And our game wardens are not out there to ruin people's day and to write tickets and that sort of thing. They write those in order to get people's attention so that they will do the right thing and do the safe thing. The last thing our game wardens want to have to do is to work an incident like they had to work down in your area this past weekend. It's a horrible day for them as well. It's not something that they enjoy at all. And so their goal is for everybody to go home safely at the end of the day. That's what they want. That's what we all want. And we want people to enjoy the waterways. You know, we have a beautiful state here. We have lots of great natural resources and bodies of water, and we want people to enjoy those, but we want them to enjoy them safely.
All right. Well, next time I get pulled over, I'm dropping your name. Okay.
Just it won't do you any good.
Mark, thank you again.
All right. Thank you.
That's all for the Tuesday Commute Podcast. Thanks one last time to our presenting sponsor, National Office Systems. Before I sign off, remember that we publish new commute episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Whatever your interests, you will find interviews of interest in our archives. Just last week, we talked politics post-election, and we talked about the Hyundai deal post-Hyundai announcement. So it's, you know, business, politics. Sometimes we get sports. Today we're talking voting and voting safety. We try to cover all the bases. Anyway, search The Commute with That Savannah Opinion on your favorite podcast app to find our program. The Commute returns on Thursday, and we look forward to talking to you then.